Okay, so we are going to start. We are in the middle of Perek Yud-Gimel, chapter 13. And previously in this Perek, we're up to Pasuk Yud-Gimel also, or Pasuk actually, Tesvav 15. So previously in this Perek, the Perek really begins with Yonatan, the son of Shaul, going and killing a Plishti officer. Not clear what his intentions were, and that's what he did. And the Plishtim heard about this, they got really angry, and they rallied their army big time. The Pasuk in Pasuk Hay describes it as 30,000 chariots and 6,000 cavalry, and a nation as like the sand on the edge of the sea. So an enormous army of Plishtim gathered in this place called Michmash. And not far from there, Shaul was in Gilgal, and he had been instructed by Shaul. This person might be looking for. Good morning. Jeff Rosenbaum. Not sure where you'll find him. Sorry. So previously, a while back, Shaul had been instructed by Shmuel that you should go to this place Gilgal, or you'll be in Gilgal, and you should wait for me for 7 days, and I'll come and we'll bring Karbanos. And when the Plishtim are gathering their armies, the Jewish people get very scared. Many of them run into hiding, and Shaul is left with just a small army of 600 men. And Shaul is being pressured, and he's getting nervous. He has to do something to fight the Plishtim, and he knows that before he fights them, he has to bring Karbanos, he has to daven to Hashem. And he brings the Karbanos, and as he's doing that, Shmuel comes. And Shmuel says, I told you to wait for me. And that was really a tzivui, that was a command from Hashem. And you didn't wait. And therefore your kingship is not going to last. And we talked about how, you know, it seems like not such a, you know, why we're so grave about this. But the idea was that there's a mitzvah here, there's a tzivui, there's a commandment. And you have to be able to obey the commandment even under pressure. If you want to be the melech, you want to be the king, you have to be able to not bow to the pressures of life and still keep Hashem's mitzvah. It's noteworthy that, and the Mishpat Zav points this out, that many of the Jewish people's greatest errors came from not waiting, from a lack of patience. He quotes that the Arizal says that if Adam HaRishon was commanded not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, from the Tree of Knowledge. And the Arizal says that had he just waited till Shabbos, then it would have become permitted to him. I forgot the Medrash says what hour it was. A couple hours later, and it would have been mutter. It would have been okay for him to eat. But he couldn't wait, you know, and he had to eat. Also, we have that with...
So Chava,
let's say. Chava wasn't patient. You know, obviously there was a reason, something that caused them to eat it, but had they just waited, you know, they could have had it, they just needed to wait. The same we find similarly by the Chet HaEgel, by the golden calf, that they miscalculated and they rushed, you know, they didn't wait for Moshe. Oh, you know, again, different reasons why they didn't wait, but then different pressures and different miscalculations. But ultimately, had they just waited a little bit longer, they could have been. Then everything would have been fine. Similarly, some Mefarshim learn that the problem with the Jewish people asking for a king in our sefer here, right, was that many different explanations for what was wrong that they asked for a king, but one is that it just wasn't time yet. Again, indeed, there is a mitzvah to have a king, but but it wasn't the right time. They saw it Shmuel Hanavi. Well, you know, that's one of the explanations. So we can see a theme throughout many of the errors of the Jewish people, just a lack of waiting. Sometimes, you know, sabranut, just a little bit more patience. Right. Right. Not to bow under pressure. Yeah. Definitely. Okay. So we're going to start from the Pasuk Tes Vav. Vayakam Shmuel, and Shmuel got up. Vayal min haGilgal Givas Binyamin. And he went up from Gilgal to this place, Givas Binyamin, the hill of Binyamin. Vayitko Shaul Sama Nimsoim Imo. Hanimsoim Imo. And Shmuel counted, Shaul counted the numbers of the nation that were left with him. Kishesh Meos Ish. And there were still 600. The Radak. Sorry. This is the first mention of 600, actually. I'm getting confused. So later, we're going to see 600 mentioned again. But at this point, Shaul did a count, and he had 600 men. The Shaul the Yonasan Bino. That's an interesting question. Maybe. Right, I guess he didn't do an exact count. Maybe it was an estimate. That's a good point. It's Kishesh Meos. It's about 600. You know, some people take this Kishesh very far, right? Because the Rambam, when he talks about how long you have to wait after eating meat, so he says Kishesh, about 6 hours. So many people wait 6 hours. That's the Shulchan Aruch just says 6 hours, the Ramah. But there are those, and you know, Rabbi Aaron Cutler apparently was of the opinion that it means, you know, it doesn't have to be a full 6 hours. Or into the fifth, some people do 5.5. I think in Lakewood they do 5.5 because of this Rambam Kishay Show. Yeah, so there's about 600 over here. Okay. Kiben Shivim Sana. Right. Yeah.
But he was 18.
Exactly. He's right.
Maybe it was like 60. Yeah.
Right. I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
Good. The Shaul of Yonasan Bino Veha'am Hanimsa Imam Yoshin Begeva Binyamin. Shaul, Yonasan, his son, and this nation, the nation that was with him, the men that were with him were in Geva Binyamin, the son of Binyamin, who pushed him, Chanu B'Michmash, and the Plishtim were encamped in Michmash, and these two places were just across from each other, across the valley. There's a valley in between them. Vayetze Hamashchis Mimachane Plishtim Shlosha Roshim. And the Mashchis, the destroyer of the Plishtim, went out in three heads, three formations. So basically, the Plishtim sent out three battalions. I know those refer to specific numbers when it comes to Romans, but three groups of men from their camp. Harosh Echad Yifne Al Derech Ofra Al Eretz Shu'ah. So one of them turned towards Ofra, which was a place, to Eretz Shu'ah, this land of Shu'ah. So this was in the Targum translates this as the Roma. So this was in the south. So one of the groups went south. V'harosh ha'echad yifna derech beis choron. And one of them turned to derech beis choron, another direction. V'harosh echad yifna derech ha'gevul. And one of them turned towards the border. Ha'nishkaf al-gei ha'tzivoim ha'midbara. Hamidbar is actually going back on the words of the path, that it was a path towards the Midbar. Hard to know exactly, you know, the geography exactly, but it looked out, or maybe this last one was Nishkaf. Nishkaf is to look out. It looked out on Gei HaTzivoim, on the valley of Tzivoim. What Tzivoim? So there's a Chazal, there's a Gemara that seems to mention this, but still Rashi and Mitzudas David have different interpretations of what this is being referred to, even in the Gemara. And the Rashi says that it's a min sheret ra umazik. It's some kind of sheret, some kind of rodent that is bad and destroys. And so basically this valley that they were looking over had this animal that doesn't seem to be so significant to it may just explain why they didn't camp down there, besides that you want a high place. I don't know the significance of why it needs to tell us what was in the valley. I think Mitzudas David or someone else here said that that it was some kind of animal. Almost sounds like a lizard or a chameleon, because he says it changes its skin.
Which word?
Tzivoim. It refers from the word tzeva, right? Color. That's
color.
That
yeah.
This it refers to an animal that could change its skin, and that's why it was called tzavua. Okay, so now we learn about an early form of gun control. A blacksmith was not to be found in all of Eretz Yisrael. Ki amru plishtim, because the plishtim said, "Pen yasu ha'ivrim chayrav ochanis," lest the Jews make a sword or a spear. So the plishtim, who were in control, did not allow the Jewish people to have blacksmiths. And again, they didn't want them to have weapons. It was weapon control. So they wouldn't have swords and spears. Vayerdu chol Yisrael ha'plishtim, viltosh ish es macharasto, ves eso, ves kardumo, ves macharishoso. Right, seemingly they didn't have the materials to properly sharpen anything. So if they wanted to sharpen even the things that they needed just for working, so they would have to go, or to do a proper job, they would have to travel to the land of the Plishtim to do that. So to sharpen es macharasto, a person's plow, the es eso, or his shovel or hoe of some sort, the es kardumo, or his axe, the es macharishoso, which also was some kind of sounds like a plow, but I think that the Mepharshim here say that it was some kind of kliumnus. Doesn't really explain what it was. Some kind, maybe for making other metals. Not sure what this last one was exactly.
Because Second Amendment is very wide.
Right. The Plishtim felt so.
They wanted to override.
Oh, yeah.
We have now freedom to bear arms. Yeah. It's simply a very wide thing, right, for the Jews. And then many Jews are against kept arms. Surprises. But we are the most bold people. We need to have arms to protect ourselves. And so not surprised anyone. So I can tell the story from my grandmother told me in Ukraine when
right.
Some Jews had weapons and some didn't, and some who didn't, sorry, because they had survived. So for Rome, that's how it was.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Oh, I have to show this to Rabbi Grossman. He recently gave a shiur on gun control. Well, he didn't bring this in. It was more of a the Gemara talk about gun control, weapon control. Vayerdu chol Yisrael ha'plishtim. Oh, sorry. So we did that. So chaf aleph. The ha'isa ha'petzira fist l'machareisog v'la eitzim. The Wishlo Shilson Ula Hakardumim Ula Hativa Darvan. So here it talks about some kind of sharpening device that the Jewish people did have. Is it limestone? What do they translate this as? Pustik Kafala, 21.
Multi-groove
file. Okay, there was some kind of Patsira is comes from the word like many. And fist, I guess, is groove. So the Jewish people had some kind of, primitive, not as functional way to sharpen their items. And the pasuk is saying what you could do if you didn't want to come to Plishtim. I saw someone suggest that the pasuk is quoting what the official law of the Plishtim was. So the Plishti law said like this, that the Jewish people may not have may not have blacksmiths in the land of Israel, lest they make weapons, and they if they want to sharpen their weapons, they should come down to the Plishtim, and if they can't do that, then they could use this Petzira Pit, this multi-grooved file for their master. Right. Sorry. I didn't mean weapons. Yes, they wanted to sharpen their farming implements. Thank you. The Haisab Sirafis, the Machireshos, the Va'asim, for their plows and for their shovels, the Shlosh Kilshon, and for their three pronged pitchforks, Uva Kardumim, and for the axe, Uva Haptiv, Hadarvan, and for their. There's also some kind of. This is for guiding animals, and it was a sharp edge, some kind of animal spur. I don't know what they call it, but goad. Okay, to goad the animals. Okay, yeah, some kind of thing to get the animals to move, and apparently it had a little sharp edge. So there's a that this word comes up. There's a I think it's a pasuk in Mishlei, like Divrei Chachamim Kedarvonos, or something like that. A darvon. The words of the sages are like spears, or like these. No, they guide. I think the point is that it guides. It's a guiding thing. The Haya B'yom Milchemes, and it would be if there would be a day of war. Vilo Nimsa Chayre V'chanes B'yad Kolam, and there wouldn't be found any sword or spear in the hands of the nation. And this was the intent of the Plishtim. Asher Sol Vesyomason, or maybe just saying there wasn't on this day of war, they didn't have any weapons. The men with Sol and Yomason, so they had an army of 600, but no weapons, no spears or swords. Vatimotzele Sol Yomason to know. But Sol and Yomason did have a sword and shield. Rashi, I think, says that it was Al Yidei Neis, Rashi says something miraculously they had. Nor beyond a more pashut, simple reading, you would say that, you know, they had a couple, and so they gave them to Shaul and Yonasan. They were the only ones that they smuggled, that they managed to have. Yeah, so someone I saw speaks about that. Right, we know we're going to see that later. Someone here speaks about that they did have bows and slingshots. Yeah, it's hard to prevent somebody from making bows and slingshots. I think that's you just need rocks and for bows, you know.
For the branch of a tree.
Right. And you put a rock on. I'm sure they weren't like super sharp, you know, but yeah. Okay. Vayetze matzav plishtim al ma'avar michmash. And a matzah plishtim, a group again of the plishtim, these were guards of some sort, went out to Ma'avar Michmash, to the pass by Michmash. So Rashi here gives us a little bit of the geography. Rashi says, as I mentioned before, the plishtim were camped on Michmash, which was one mountain, and the Jewish people were in a city called Geva, which was also on the top of a mountain, and they were opposite each other, and there was this valley between them, and this matzah plishtim, this group of plishtim, now started to approach the edge of Michmash towards facing Geva, to approach the valley. Yeah, so I don't know who these ones were.
That's called the Rosh. I mean, it seems like some of the columns.
Right.
The columns move out, but Matzav means something else.
Right. Matzav, Rashi says, means Hapostim Baratim Achar Asal El Ayir, like those who just separate out and run after the booty, the bounty in the city. And that, but then he says that they're Nitzivim Lishmar. They were guards. So
scouting party.
Perhaps. Yeah.
The scout.
Yeah. Okay. So that's Perek Yud Gimel. We'll go right into Perek Yud Aleph. Story continues. Vayehi Hayom. And it was on that day, that very same day, Vayomer Yonasan ben Shaul el Hanar no sekelo. And Yonasan, the son of Shaul, told his lad, his arms bearer, Lecha, let's go. Vinabra el Matzah Plishtim. Let's approach this scouting party of the Plishtim. Asher me'ever halaz. That's across the, on the opposite side. Ula Aviv. Lo. Higin. Well, he did not tell his father that he had any plans to go out. The Malbim says that Yonasan didn't have like a serious plan for what he was going to do at this point. He wasn't planning to fight. We're going to see he's going to fight these Plishtim and win, you know, defeat them miraculously. But at this point, the Malbim says he had no intent to fight them. And that's why it doesn't really say exactly what he was planning. Maybe he was just also, you know, going to see what was going on, scouting. But that's why he didn't tell his father about it. The Shaul Yoshev Bikseya Giva. And Shaul was sitting at the edge of Giva, Tachas Arimon Asher B'Migron, under some a pomegranate tree in Migron, Ve'am Asher Imo Kishesh Meos Ish. And again, it repeats that the nation with him was 600 people. So I think some of Farshim say that Shaul was on the opposite end of Giva, and that's why Yonasan didn't tell him. That's what the pasuk is telling you. And here it repeats that he had 600 men. So the Radak asks, why does he need to tell me this again? They already told me that he has 600 men. And the Radak says that it's telling you that nobody else joined. There's still just 600. And even though they had the Plishtim on right there, still it was just 600 men who were ready to fight along with Shaul. Vachia ben Achituv, Achi Ichavod, ben Pinchas, ben Eli, Kohen Hashem Beshilo, Nosei Eifod. So a long description of this person, Achia, the son of Achituv. And by the way, says the Pasuk, Achituv was the brother of Ichavod. And they were both, seemingly, sons of Pinchas ben Eli, Kohen Hashem Beshilo, Nosei Eifod. He was the son of, so Achituv and Echavod were children of Pinchas, who were children of Eli, who was a Kohen Gadol. He was a Kohen Hashem in Shiloh previously. Now he's dead, but he had been. And this Achia was Nosei Ephod, wore the Ephod. We spoke about the Ephod, this apron, but the point to the Pharisees say is actually that he wore the Choshen. He had the Urim Betumim that they could ask questions to. And it's noteworthy that they had this option to speak the Urim Tumim. Yonasan seemingly at this point didn't opt for that. The Ha'am lo yada ki halach Yonasan. The people didn't know that Yonasan left, that Yonasan went on his own.
What does this person have to do with it? All of a sudden, the prophet inserts this person?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, what, it seems to be out of nowhere.
Yeah, so I think it's because, well, there's two, right, so that was, in terms of that question, I think it's to tell you that there was a Kohen Gadol there,
okay,
with an Urim Betumim that they could have asked questions to, but they, Yonasan opted not to.
Okay.
It's also just an interesting pasuk in general, because it's kind of rare that you say he was the son of Achituv, who was the brother of Ichavod. Why does it mention his brother? So the Radak says two possibilities. One is that, because we know, we've heard of Ichavod before. We've never heard of Achituv, but we've heard of Ichavod. Who's Ichavod? Why have we heard of Ichavod? Because when Eli died, Eli HaKohen, so he died from the news that the Aron had been captured by the Plishtim. At this point, it's already been returned, but the Aron was captured by the Plishtim. Also, at that time, the two sons of Eli, Chofni and Pinchas, also died in that same battle that the Aron was captured. Pinchas had a wife who was pregnant at the time, and she was, when the news came back that her husband had died, but more importantly to her, you see in the pasuk back in Perek, let's just turn back. Let's go back to Dalet Chafala for a second. Perek Dalet pasuk Chafala. Actually, let's go to Pasuk Yud Tet. Perek Dalet, chapter 4, Pasuk Yud Tet. So it says, V'chalaso. And his daughter-in-law, meaning Eli HaKohen's daughter-in-law, Eshet Pinchas, the wife of Pinchas, Hara Alalas, she was pregnant to give birth, she was ready to give birth, Vatishma Esashmua, and she heard the news, El Halikach Aron HaLachim, she heard that the Aron was captured, Umeis Chamiya, the Isha, and she heard that her father-in-law had died and that her husband had died. Batichra Batelaid, and she bowed, she bent over and she gave birth. Tinefko Alva Tireha, because her innards were ready for it now. Ukeis Musa, and while she was dying, Batidaberna Hanisavos Aleha, those who were standing there said to her, Altiri, do not fear, Kibein Yalat, because you've given birth to a son. Velo Ansa, Velo Shasa Liba. She didn't answer, and her heart was not, did not seem to pay attention. Batikra Lanar Ichavot. But then she said, she named the child Ichavot. Lamar. And why did she call him this? Because Gala kavod in Israel, because the honor of Israel had been exiled, El Hawika Hivakach Aron Ha'elokim, because the Aron had been taken, Del Chamiha and her father-in-law, the Isha and her husband. So the Mefarshim mentioning over there that in terms of telling her the news, they told her what they thought was most important to her first. They told her, she heard about the Aron and her father-in-law and her husband, and she said, she named him Eichavod, that there's no honor, Eichavod means there's no honor anymore, because the Aron was taken, and her father-in-law and her husband. So we've met Eichavod before, we haven't seen him since his birth, and so now the Pasuk mentions, Achitov, the brother of Eichavod, because we've heard of Eichavod. That's one idea that the Radak says. The Radak suggests another idea, that is that just to contrast what's going to happen now with what happened then. Over there, they suffered a terrible defeat. The Aron was taken. The Kohen Gadol was died. Eli didn't die in battle. He died on a chair from shock. But it was a terrible, terrible defeat. And it's just a contrast. Remember that story. Now see this story. This is going to be the opposite. We're in the Kohen Gadol here. Because there was partially because of the behavior of the Kohanim at that time that they were punished. And now it's saying that Achia was a Kohen Gadol, he was upstanding, and it's contrasting how here they're going to see great victory. Okay. Also, just we should point out, the Radak points this out, that Eli HaKohen was cursed. And part of the curse was that he would not have descendants who would take positions of authority, be Kohen Gadol, etc. But here we have that his great grandson is the Kohen Gadol. So the Radak just says, seemingly the klala, the curse, didn't kick in yet. And I don't know, if there's a when it did start to kick in, but it says over here it didn't. Okay. Pasuk Dalet. Uvein ha-mabirot asher bikesh Yonasan lavar al-matah twistin Shane Hasela. So between the passes, these different hills that Yonason wanted to pass, so there was Shane Hasela. Me'aver Mizeh, there was a, you know, a Shane is a tooth, like a pointy rock on one side, the Shane Hasela Me'aver Mizeh, and a pointy rock on the other side, the Shema Echad Botzik. One was called Botzik, the Shema Echad Sene, and one was called Sene. The pasuk is describing how the terrain here was just not easy terrain to work with, to pass, to climb, but Yonason did, right? And then that's the next pasuk hey, Hashem Ha'echad Matzuk Mitzafon Mu'o Mechmash. The first one was Matzuk was planted from the north towards Michmash. Va'echad Minegev Mu'o Geva. And the other one was from the south, opposite Geva. Again, it's hard to imagine exactly what it looked like, but I think the point is there's you know, there's mounting as terrain here. There's rock, smooth rocks that are hard to pass, and Yonason is going to attempt it in any event. Okay. Yomer Yonason El Hana'ar Nosei Kelev. And Yonason said to this lad, his arms bearer, L'cha v'nabira el matzav ha'arevim ha'eleh. Let's go and let's pass towards this group of arevim, of uncircumcised ones, of Gentiles. Ulai yaseh Hashem lanu. Maybe Hashem will do great, something great for us. Ki ein l'Hashem matzor, because there's nothing stopping Hashem, lo shia b'rav ovim ha'at, to save a person, whether they're many or whether they're little. Amazing bitachon that gripped Yonason at this time. He said it doesn't make a difference to Hashem whether whether we are just a few, whether it's all the same to Hashem. So maybe he'll do a miracle for me. Now, there are those who ask, I think the Kliyakar, I think they bring it down. The Kliyakar asks, you know, that ain't somchang al anes, you're not allowed to rely on a miracle. True. He didn't say it, but he's going, you know, on his own to attack a great group of people. So the Kliyakar suggests, right. The Kliyakar, right, but to put yourself in that situation, okay, that's what the Kliyakar asks, and he says that, I think it's the Kliyakar, that here it's different because they anyways needed an ace. They were 600 against hordes and hordes beyond, you know, more than the, you know, 36,000 plus, you know, who knows how many. So it was already in need for a miracle, so he's already being told, Michalin, it's, you know, a little bit more of a miracle, that's not a problem to do. Okay. So he says, maybe Hashem will do something great for us. Vayomer lo nosei kelev, and his arms bearer said to him, Asei klasher bilvavecha, do that which is in your heart. You know, lean towards that way. You could go that way. Here, I'm with you with whatever you desire. Whatever your heart desires, I'm with you. Vayomer Yehonasan. And Yehonasan said, Hinei anachnu ovrim el ha'anoshim. Behold, we're approaching these men. V'niglinu aleihem. And we're going to become revealed to them. They're going to see us very soon. So let's see what happens. He says, "In ko yomru eleinu." If they say the following thought, "Domu ad hagienu aleichem," wait until we get to you. Right? They're going to see us. They're going to call something out to us. If they say, "Wait until we get to you," v'amanu tachenu, then we should stay here. V'lo na'alem, and then we were not going to go to them. Vimko yomru, but if they say alu aleinu, no, go up to us, vialinu, then we're going to go up and we're going to fight them. Ki nesanam Hashem biyadeinu, because that will be a sign that Hashem has given them over into our hands. Vizel anu host, that will be a sign. So Yonason says, if they say wait there, then we're going to, it seems he's saying we're not going to fight them, we're going to wait. and we're not going to engage them in battle. I guess we'll talk to them, whatever. But if they say come, so that's going to be the sign from Hashem that we shouldn't just go, but we're going to take them on. And that'll be a sign that we could take them on. The Galu... Okay, good. So let's read two more psukim, and then we're going to get into this in depth. Okay? The Galus, by Galus Nehem, Al Matza Plishtim, and the two men revealed themselves to this group of Plishtim, by Yomra Plishtim, and the Plishtim said, Hinei Ivrim Yotzim, Chorim, Asher Yitzchabusham. There are some Jews coming out of the holes, the caves that they hid in. By Yanu Anche Amatzava, as Yonason, that's no say Caleb. And the men of this matzav, this group of Plishtim, answered them. Vayomeron, they said, Alu Eleinu, come up to us. That's the sign that Yonatan is going to fight them. The Nodia Eschem Dover, and we're going to tell you something. Vayomer Yonatan, El Nose Caleb, and Yonatan said to his arms bearer, Alei, Acharai, come up after me. Kinesanam Hashem Biad Yisrael, because Hashem has handed them over to us. Vayal Yonason al Yadav Yal Raglav, and Yonason went up on his hands and legs. I think that's you have to climb, I think. It was, like I said, it was not easy terrain. Vinose Caleb Acharav and his arms bearer after him. Vayitlu with a Yonason Vinose Caleb Mimoses Acharav. And they fell before Yonason and his arms bearer. Who was after him? Who was killing behind him? I think his arms bearer was also killing behind him.
Oh, so they start.
They attack them. Vatihi amaka harishona shahika yonatam and osekelov ke estremish. And the first striking that Yonatan and his arms bearer did was about 20 people. Ki vachati maana temed sade. This is talking about how much space was. The point it's trying to tell you they were all together. They were there to be able to help each other. It was a half a. This is some amount that a plow plowed, and they were within that amount of space of each other. So, and what the pasuk is, the point is that it wasn't that he killed one at a time. That wouldn't be so great. The point was there were 20 men right there together, and he fought them all at once, and two people killed 20 people. And that was the first great, miraculous thing. Okay, so that's where we're gonna pause, and let's talk about this thing that Yonatan does. He says, if they say, wait, that's going to be a sign that we shouldn't fight them. If they say, come, then we should fight them. So you ask, how can you do that? So what's wrong with doing something like that? It's what we call nichush, which is to try, use signs to try to foresee. What's going to happen? Or omens, but relying on omens. So it's a pasuk in the Torah, a couple of psukim. Vayikra Yud Tes, it says, Losinachashu. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to use omens to foresee things. The question is, what's included in this? So there's a brisa in Sanhedrin. The brisa says, what's menachish? What's included in this prohibition? It's if somebody says, oh, my bread fell out of my mouth, or I dropped my stick, or my son is calling from behind me, or there's a raven calling, or a deer cut off my path, or I see a snake to my right, or I see a fox to my left. All of these things, a person, there's different interpretations as omens that a person might give. And, Rashi explains what the different omens are, but the point is, you're not allowed to treat these as omens and say, oh, it must mean, therefore, I'm not going to, you know, it's a bad day, or I shouldn't do this, or I shouldn't do that. That's what the Braisa says. So, it doesn't say something like this. Yes. However, there's a Gemara. The Gemara is in Chulin. The Gemara tells, it's actually within the sugya of Basar Shenisalaming Ayin. If meat is not being watched by a Jew, it's under the watch of a non-Jew, and it's not sealed, so then it could be problematic. So within that discussion, the Gemara gets into a discussion about Nichush, about, I need a good English word for this, but, premonitions, what? Divining based on omens. So the Gemara says that Rav, the Amora, the Tana, Rav, was going to his son-in-law, Rav Hanan. And when he was going, the ferry came right away. So Rav said, wow, the ferry came right away. Mavrika Asi Lapi, Yoma Tavolana. This is a great day. This is a sign that it's a good day. The ferry came right as I came. You know, the bus comes right when you get there. Givaldig, right? So he got, you know, he got to the house. And when he got to the house, he peeked through the crack to see what was going on. And he saw, the Gemara says, that there was some meat hanging. There was some meat hanging there. So he knocked on the door, and everybody came to the door. And Rav, this whole time, kept his eye on the meat. Because nobody was watching the meat now. Apparently there was a situation where it could have been switched. But Rav kept his eye on the meat. But everybody came to the door. So he said to his son-in-law, you feed my grandchildren trace meat? Because, you know, you have meat here that nobody's watching. So Rav didn't eat the meat, even though he was watching it the whole time. So the Gemara asks, why not, right? Why didn't he eat the meat? If it was because a buster should have salaming eye and that it was lost to, you know, nobody was watching it. Well, he was watching it, it says. So that couldn't have been the problem. So maybe... What? The people were inside. They were all in there. It was now that they came to the door... Yeah. But now that they came to the door, that was the problem. That was the problem. So the Gemara says... maybe it was part of his some kind of nichus, that he saw this as a bad sign. Not clear what the sign was. Rashi says that it had to do with his original seeing, that because the ferry came and somehow that informed him that he shouldn't eat the meat. I don't know. I'm not sure. You know. Right. So I don't know, it's not clear what, that the Radak has a different shot here, but it wasn't so clear what he divined, but the Gemara says maybe it was that he divined. So the Gemara says, nah, that shouldn't be a problem here. The Ha'amar Rav himself says, Ko nichos she'eno kaliezer eved Avram, ukiyonason ben shol, eno nichos. That nichush, that divining, that's not the divination of Eliezer, the servant of Avram, or of Shaul, the son of Yonathan, referring to us, to our scenario, is not considered nichush. It's not a divination. What's Eliezer? Because Eliezer, when he went to look for a wife for Yitzchak, so he said, whoever will bring water for me and my camels, and that's what Rivka did, right? So he also was involved in this kind of situation. Okay, good. We'll get to that. Good. So that's what the Gemara says. So why didn't Rav eat? So again, not so clear what the Gemara's question is. In Rashi's reading, it's hard to learn what the Gemara's question was. Because again, it says it's trying to figure out why didn't he eat. It says, was it because the meat wasn't seen? No, because he was watching it. Was it because of nichush somehow? But this isn't the nichush that's forbidden. Okay, I don't know what the Gemara's point is, and we'll see there's another way to learn the Gemara. So he says, no, the problem was it was a Sudas Rishut. The Rav Lamatani Mitzudas Rishut. Rav was a Parish, right? This past week, Parsha, Kedoshim, Tiyu, the Prushim, Mingam Osros, you know, be separate from even things that are permitted. Rav would not eat from a Sudas Rishut. He wouldn't eat maybe meat at a. He would only eat if it was a Sudas Mitzvah. That's why. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. Now, the Gemara has this line, you know, that any divination that's not like the divination of Eliezer and Yonah's song is not divination. So what does the Gemara mean by that? What does that mean? So is it saying that something said that's forbidden? What's forbidden? It's not clear. You look in the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. You know what? I think we're going to save this for next time. It's a whole discussion. So we'll discuss it with Hashem next time. Leave you hanging.
All right.
All right.